What are you laughing about? Shut up. You think I got a problem? You talking to me? They will go. They will argue vociferously with you that they don't have an anger problem. You just keep getting on their nerves. You wish that everybody would just leave them alone about this stupid anger problem. If you don't want to believe that you have a problem with pornography, you will deny it. And you'll start over every day, day in and day out. Well, that was yesterday. Messed up again. Well, that was yesterday. Messed up again. Well, that was yesterday. Today's a new day. Messed up again. Do you have a problem? No, no. I got it under control. Just kept messing up. But give me time. I'm good. I'm good. You know, like that commercial. That commercial. Guy's working on the electrical wires. His buddy says, "Are you ready?" And the guy says, "What does he say?" "No." And the guy throws the switch away. I love that commercial. Guy goes flying across the yard. Crashes into the shed. You can cut this out of the recording. Man, that is so funny. Yeah, and he jumps up. Oh, good. Smoke is coming out of his mouth. I love that commercial. Oh. If you don't want to believe you have a problem with gossip, you will deny it. You will go to any length to deny it. And you'll go and tell your friends about that stupid chick over there, man. Did you hear what she said about me? She said, "I had a gossip problem." "I don't think so. Do you know what kind of problem she has?" "I'll tell you what kind of problem she has. It ain't my problem. It's not gossip, man. I'm just, you know, she just can't handle the truth. That's what it is. You can't handle the truth." If you are a covetous person, you will go to any length to deny. If you don't want to believe that you are covetous, you will go to any length to deny that you really are. "I'm just admiring a thing of beauty. That's all it is. I just appreciate stuff that's good. Boy, I wish I had that. Boy, I would, because, you know, I don't know that they realize how nice they got it, man. If I had that, boy, I would, shoot, I'm telling you what, I would appreciate that, but I'm not covetous. No, I'm spiritual." Praise God. If you don't want to believe you've got a problem, you go to any length. And these guys were jealous of Paul and Silas. They were envious. They were bitter. Their hearts were eaten up with jealousy. And frankly, I think pride is at the root of that. Pride will harden your heart. Pride will set you like a stone against all of humanity. And you will draw a line in the sand to preserve your pride. Peter Wagner lists four reasons. He's a commentator on the book of Acts. He lists four reasons why he thinks these Jews might have been jealous of Paul and Silas. Number one, he says, well, first of all, the Gentiles were leaving the synagogue to follow Paul. Attendance started going through the floor. That might be one reason. Number two, the power of God through signs and wonders was being demonstrated through Paul and Silas. They were performing miracles, and the Jewish leaders weren't. Hate when that happens. Daggone it. Why do they have to come to my synagogue and do that nonsense down the road, man, at Bob's synagogue? I'm sorry, Seymour's synagogue. You know, he was a Jewish guy, yeah. Bob is kind of a Gentile name. Number three, Paul was not requiring the Gentiles to be circumcised in order to be saved. We've been wrestling with these God-fearers for, you know, years now. They've been coming to this place. They know that he's the Lord, but they won't convert to Judaism. They don't want to go under the knife. And Paul is coming and leading them all away, saying, you don't even have to go through that. Who does he think he is? Number four, Paul was preaching that Jesus was the Messiah and the rabbi should have been the first one to know. They were the spiritual leaders. And here comes a guy out of who knows where, saying, oh, by the way, guys, you missed it. He was here. And by the way, not only that, you guys killed him while he was here. You know, that just, you know, really endeared him to them. As he told in 1 Thessalonians 2:15, that they killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. That was kind of pointed. So I think there was a lot of jealousy, but I think it was rooted in pride, man. Jealousy and pride go hand in hand together. Who does this guy think he is, man? Coming around here, leading all of our people astray, taking them out of the synagogue and carrying on, doing all this you know, demonic stuff probably by the hand of Beelzebub, some satanic kind of magic or something. Who does he think he is? And they not only denied the truth, they not only refused to look in scriptures, they actually talk about going to any length to deny it. They went to any length to shut it down, and they actually hired wicked men to stir up a mob and cause a riot in order to get these guys arrested and thrown out of the city, possibly even executed for treason. Wow. I mean, these are wicked men. These are guys these Jewish leaders wouldn't even talk to or associate with on any other day. I guess it goes back to that thing, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. If I can hire these guys to put them out, they'll make a nice little temporary friendship. Talk about going to any length. They would not believe that that's the word of truth as they went about creating lies. So let me ask you this, before we throw stones at these guys, to what length are each of us willing to go to keep from hearing or obeying the truth? To what length will you go to keep from obeying the truth when God is dealing with you over an issue in your life? Does anybody have issues that they have not quite given up to the Lord yet? Anybody in here? I have reached the place of total and complete sanctification. I walk as God among men. Yeah. Yeah, ask my wife. She'll you know, confirm that for you. How many of you here today could say to yourselves that God is speaking to you about something and you're possibly trying not to listen? Here and I waffle back and forth. Good days and bad days. Is God speaking to you about something, and are you listening with open ears, or are you trying to resist the truth? Are you going to certain lengths to keep from having to come to grips with the fact that God wants to change something in your walk or in your life or in your attitude? And how far will you go in order to resist change, in order to resist the truth? How far have you come already? What have you done already to shut out and drown out that voice of God saying it's time to change? Time to bury that thing and walk in newness of life. How many of us are actually running full tilt away from the truth? Maybe even enlisting the help of ungodly counsel to help us rationalize why we're not doing what God has called us to do. Well, you know, Cosmopolitan says blah, 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 blah. I don't subscribe. It happened to be, you know, I was at my sister's house and she had it. And I just saw that article there and they say that they think I'm right. Dr. Phil, man, I saw it on Oprah. Dr. Phil got up and said, man, don't worry about that. You don't have to change. This is the 21st century. The fortune cookie I got with my General Tso's chicken last night said, you know, you are walking the right path. So, hey, why should I change? It was a sign from God. So before we throw stones at them, how far, what length have we already gone to escape what God is trying to deal with us about? What is God dealing with you about? And how far have you run already? Or are you searching out the scriptures to confirm that, wow, yeah, God's word really does say this is what I need to do, and this is God's blessing if I'll do that? What does the word of God say? And I like that, because not all the Jews were like that. In fact, Paul went to the second city. Let's look at Berea. They had a completely different response. Verse 11, Acts 17, 11 says, in Berea, referring to the Jews, these Jews were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily. Everybody say daily.
Yeah.
Ooh. How often did they search the scriptures?
Yeah.
Daily. Wow. Mark, do you realize they searched the scriptures how often?
Daily.
How often is that?
Every day.
Barbara, did you hear what Mark was saying, man? How often did they search the scriptures?
Every
Every day, man. Ruth. They didn't even have a concordance. Thank you. They didn't even have Bible software. Well, I guess it was all soft. They didn't have any Bible hardware was the problem. Man. Those scrolls, man. And yet, I mean, we talk about our big King James Bible, but man, them scrolls, man, those were... When you went to look something up, man, you had to be in a long room because you had to unroll that thing, you know, Genesis, Exodus, you know, so on and so forth. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. And you're trying to get to Jeremiah. You're like, dude, man, we need a bigger room. Praise God. They searched the scriptures daily. They weren't just contradicting. They weren't just gainsaying everything Paul said. They weren't putting up a stone wall and saying, whatever you said, I'm just going to contradict and deny it. They actually searched it out. They got out their scroll, thank you, Jenny, unrolled that bad boy. I'm sure they had another guy at the other end rolling up what they were rolling out. And they looked up the passages in question and studied to see if it was in fact true. Is God really saying this to me? Because if it's in Scripture, He is saying something to me. Is this what God is truly saying to me? They looked at the passage, they looked at the context, and they weighed it in their minds. They weren't just taking it at face value, but they weren't shutting it out either. They looked with all readiness, and I love that. It says they did so with all readiness. In other words, with an open mind. Let's check it out. Let's see. They weren't just looking for a rebuttal. You know, there are atheists who know Scripture better than a lot of Christians, but they don't look with readiness of mind. They're just looking for contradictions. They're just looking to rebut what we're saying, and so they don't see the truth. They have the wrong attitude. But these guys had the right attitude. They were genuinely looking for truth, for the truth. Praise God. Looking at Scripture to see what it says. You know, there are countless... And I appreciate your patience with me. I'm kind of long-winded today. But there are countless churches and organizations that will make a whole big deal about how they profess to honor the Bible, how they hold up the Bible and believe it is all this kind of stuff, and yet they do nothing to back up what they say they believe. I was at an initiation ceremony at a local lodge a few years ago. I decided to join this lodge to help build a bridge to somebody that I wanted to make friends with, and he was in there, and he said, hey, why don't you join? I was like, oh, what the heck? You know, I don't have to, you know, sign my blood to anything or, you know, sacrifice a chicken or I don't know. Looks pretty up and up. So I went and, you know, attended the initiation ceremony, and they made it kind of, I don't know what kind of reaction I had, but they made a big deal at this ceremony about how they believe the Bible is their rule of life, how they get all, you know, that's their foundation for what they do. And they even had like a podium, like an altar kind of deal with a huge, big Bible on it as they were making the statement. But I could tell, I was looking at the gold leaf on the edges of the Bible, those bad boys had never so much as cracked that thing. Because, you know, Larry, do you have your Bible with you? Hold that thing up. Yeah, duct tape, you know, frayed edges. You can't even see what the cover says anymore. This thing looked like it had just come out of the box 10 minutes ago, and they just blew, you know, whatever lint company takes stuff out of it. This thing looks brand spanking showroom new. And they're like, we honor the Bible as our rule and principle for all of us. Well, you have never even so much as looked in that thing. I'd be surprised if you could even unstick the pages from each other. And besides that, nothing they ever did or said in the lodge had anything to do with the truth of Scripture at all. So, you know, they made this big deal about this and never even bothered to read the thing. There are many churches that act the same way. You can walk in their sanctuary, and it's a beautiful place, and they have a big podium or some big altar where they have a copy of a huge Bible, and it's open, at least. And get this, they may actually even quote from it. They may actually have somebody come up and read from the thing. But they never teach out of it. They might actually have somebody come up and read a passage of Scripture and move away from that as quick as they can so they can talk about some psychologist who said this, about some doctor of sociology who thought that, who had this warm and fuzzy story about this other thing, and you leave and you feel nice and warm and fuzzy and you've done your duty and you don't know a single thing about what the Word of God actually speaks to your situation or to your life.